and a friend is meeting, house master told that he never asked his master any question in his life, except three questions. I think it would be very interesting to know what were those questions that the great master asked his master.
After a few days, when I went to the feet of my master, I asked him, this method is very perfect. What is the proof that it will remain even after you? That is a very insolent question, of course. But I did ask him because I was very much interested about the competency of the system. You see, everybody gets experienced, you see, and advances on the way so quickly, about which we very little know, you see, generally. This is the last ultimate thing which we have to attain. But if Master Grace is there, he gives the very day. Often he teaches. Then he said, to whomsoever I will authorize, I am responsible, this will continue. For others, I am not responsible. It naturally happens, you see. When the master leaves, so many people start, take up the way, considering perhaps it is a matter of honor or income. They say to whomsoever I will authorize, I am responsible, this will continue. For others, I am not responsible. Then further I question, well, in what form he will be? He said he will be in a sick form. Some people also, you see, began to just imitate. They were not in sick form, but they began to adopt sick form, you see. So last of all, I just requested him, you gave initiation on the very first day, from one end to the other. Would it not be better if you gave lessons step by step? Then he turned to me and said, well, do you know why this science has been forgotten altogether? And he said, suppose one man went to his master, he progressed two planes, three stages, and the master passed away. The result was, he thought perhaps this is the ultimate goal. Another man went to his master, he progressed only two stages, and the master left the body. He thought perhaps that's the ultimate goal. The third one went to his master, he only did first day. He thought perhaps that is the only ultimate goal. So he says that the whole thing is explained at the very day of initiation, even if the disciple has not the occasion to see him later in physical body. He knows where he stands. That is why the whole thing is given the very first, explained, and some experience given to start with. These are the three questions I did ask him. Otherwise I learnt all by sitting quietly at his feet. You see, when a man is an actor, you see, he acts in all phases of life. Whether eating bread at home or abroad, you simply watch him, you find so many things, so beautiful. Now we cannot see that beauty. Why? We try to see just through the very glasses we have formed for ourselves. From that level, we cannot live beyond, you see. You simply look on the, you see, eyes are the windows of the soul. Radiation just comes through the eyes and also through the whole body. you simply remain attentive, I mean receptive, within the field of the area of the radiation, you receive life. By words only you have what you ask. You leave it, keep quiet, you receive radiation. This is what man learns most. And it happened, you see, I went to Berlin in 1955 on return from United States. There, you know, I did not know the German language. I simply engaged one interpreter to just interpret what I said in English. The interpreter was here the other day too, you see. Yeah, no, I think at Miami. Now, after a few minutes, the audience people said, well, look here, you stop. You don't interpret correctly. We understand more from a life than what you speak. So receptivity is more, you see, that is life impulse. Even if you don't know the word warm or cold, you receive the warmth and the coldness, you see. You are not in need of using the word warmth or cold. It is more wonderful, of course. That is why it is said, if you sit by the feet of some master, for an hour or so, quiet receptive mood, you gain more than by your intellectual inferences dying for 40 years, 100 years. There you speak and infer, you see. And here you receive that very thing which you infer, you see. To think of the fire is very ablaze and it is very warm, giving and this and that thing. That is something else. And to sit by the fire, you think this is something like that. And whenever one speaks, he speaks of the abundance of heart, of his heart, what dwells in there. For instance, wind blows, there is a great conflagration of fire that touches that fire and passes to the other side. The men who are sitting on the other side, they have the wind, you see, but warm. And similar to the wind which passes by any ground, which is the snow, those who are sitting on the other side, they tell that very wind is cold. Wind is the same, but it is a question of contact. Which wind is just received by with the fire and the snow. Similarly, the heart in which the love of God and love of all humanity, you see, is just overflowing. Any words he will use, those will be charged. And anybody that will hear those words, he will receive that very effect. Heart is full of passions, evil thoughts, violence, so on. Any words you utter, those will be charged with that very thing. However sweet words you may utter, but the charging is the other one. For instance, you have love with anybody. Sometimes he calls you names, and those names appear very sweet. Isn't it? It is just like, you see, good flowers, very fragrant, perfumed ones. Put it in the room. Anybody who sits in the room will have perfume. That perfume that is emitted by the flowers radiates the whole room, in the whole room. Put those flowers in the room, put it in some cloth, put it in some dust, everything becomes perfumed. So whoever comes within the field of action, field of action, of radiation, of the one who has got that way applied, those sitting around will have the same effect. That is why it is said, spirituality cannot be taught but caught. It cannot be taught. It is caught like infection. So this is what has been spoken of by all masters, all scriptures. That is why Christ said, when more than one man sits in my name, I am there. By religion, maybe a thousands of miles, you have to become simply receptive. When you become receptive, you see it. Radio, you see, you can hear men speaking a thousands of miles through radios and televisions. Similarly, you see, if you turn your face towards it, you see the impulses. So the question was asked, you see, of somebody, where God, does God lie? So he said that he wants to have the medicine go to the hospital. Then say you would like to have education, you find the schools and colleges. You would like any wetness. Go in the morning on the grass, you find all wet. And if you like to find God, go where God is, to the heart. Maulana Ram says that in the Rasuk, asked of God, where do you reside? So Prophet Muhammad said, well, God said, I am so big that all my creation is not sufficient to contain me. I am still more. But it is strange enough that I reside in the heart of a master. If you would like to find me, go there. For that God also resides in every heart. What is the difference between the two? In one place that is manifest, other place it is not. We have to simply to have a manifest within us. If you withdraw your attention from outside, it's a great blessing to sit by any person at whose whole God power is manifest, you see. This is one of the scriptures of the Hindu say, you cannot reach God so quickly by reading scriptures, by doing penances, by observing fasts. Then he goes on by just leading a life of continence, controlling your senses, and so on. As quickly as you can find him by sitting near a mat. You may be reading scripture from morn till night. The right import thereof even you cannot have without someone who has that experience or he has seen that what is given in the scripture. And moreover, he is competent to give you something of that to start with. To understand scriptures at the level of intellect cannot give you a right import. And why all these so many religions, schools of thought are there? Because they have not seen it. Had they seen it, they would have said the same thing. So that is why I say that there is religion beyond all religions. And that is religion of seeing, of truth, finding truth, which all masters who come from time to time they give out. Those have the good fortune to sit at their feet and do care. They have it. Those are more, I mean, live by what they say, they advance quickly, like anything. You know, Socrates was a teacher of Alexander the Great. And with all that, he was just going around into the streets to find somebody who he could educate. And one day Alexander the Great told him, "Look here, I am Alexander the Great. I am your student, disciple. Am I not sufficient?" He says, "Yes, you are my student, that's right. But you cannot become a Socrates. You see, I am after finding out somebody who can become a Socrates. I wanted to become like me." Yes. And those who can be like their masters who obey, that the first ABC starts from here. They not only obey, but they go by the injections. They read what he likes. And without anything he follows, whether he is in his presence or in his absence. For him that makes no difference. So such like rise into the Master. They are born in Christ. They are born in Master. That is not very difficult. Difficult is only we always go by the dictates of the mind and not by the dictates of the masters. We cannot leave out the ordinary pleasures of the senses outside. Knowing fully well that the great wealth, the great treasure in him, the priceless world within us, with all that knowing intellectually, we do not dare, because we are more attached to the outside things. For that, we have to live up, you see, that's all. So all masters have been telling like that, you see. God is everywhere, only our inner eye has not opened to see him. First we see him within us by inversion. Body appears to be the temple of God. When that dwells, he sees the whole creation is the temple of God. And Guru Amar Das says, well, with the grace of Master, you see for yourself this body is the temple of God. You know, God is eyes in you. There was one disciple of a saint called Peek. He was a saint. What he did you to do? He always repeats the name of his master. Oh, Peek. For him, the master was God. Our old master said that world has got, you see, is made flesh and dwells amongst us. Whose eyes are opened, that very who dwells within us is the worldless God manifesting to us. Then when the rain it was very, you see, the religion restrictions are very strict. They say, oh, he says, I am this and I am that. Somebody asked him, well, look, who is your God? He said, weak. Who is your prophet? Well, that's weak. And they pass a sentence that he should be hanged, killed. See, to say I am God, yes. Why you consider man a God? So he was just passed a sentence to be killed on a certain day. And such orders of capital sentence were passed by the king. He was produced before the king. The whole case was put up. The king saw his face, his eyes were from intoxication. He can't leave him. Why? He asked him, who you are? He said, no. Who is your God? Can you be? Who is your prophet? Can you be? Then king ordered to leave him. And all Mr. said, what, O king, what are you doing? Here's a sentence passed for killing him. He sees, says his guru is a god, you see. And prophet is also his guru. Everything is guru. Cannot leave it. After rulemaking, they also God gifts it. To some extent they are. Because they are given charge of so many children of God under them, you see. Then he says, well, look here. There has been dust of rain in our country. There is great famine all around. Will you ask your bhik to send down rains for us? Oh, are they accepting? This is a question, you see, who is confident, who sees that God is in him, he is God. There is no other can be God other than him. All right, then when will you come? I'll come day after tomorrow, he said. All right. Others said, minister, well, he'll fly. He'll flee away. Won't come. You never mind. And the next day it rained so much, all the country over was just overflowed with rain. Third day he came up. Appeared to the king, well, thank you. Are your beak who has sent us rain? Yes. Then he wanted to give some, what you say, some lands as a gift to be taken to his master. Because wherever masters are, there many people come gathered together for food and other thing arrangements. When he wanted to give him that written document, he said, oh, no, I don't want this. Why? Take it to him. Oh, this is only perishable things. You think I should take it to the imperishable? You see? He refused. So those who are intoxicated, not the God in physical body, but the God in him, you see, they become one with him. And even when he went to his master, you see, weak at all, madman. When you said certain thing that was done, you see, had you asked me to make you God, I would have made you God. So it is not the physical body which is the mastermind. That is God power, Christ power, called by any name life, that manifests at different human poles to guide the child of humanity back to him. And what do people do, you know? Some people complain to God, well, we are being adrift in the world, in the material. Why don't you send your apostles as you to guide us? God said, yes, I sent. Who declared that they were God, they were one with me. And what did you people do? Teach them? Somebody you put to the cross. Like Christ and Mansur. Somebody you cut their heads. Or somebody you stripped off their skin. And someone like that who said they are God in him and God in them. Well, you put them into burning fire. This is how they treated you. You treated them. Then after all, I sent some people like that who said, well, we are servants of God, it is His grace only working. I am a man like you. And you say, oh, he himself says he is nothing. Why should he listen to him? So you said, we are gods, we are God and we are one. You teach them that way. When you send men like to work at your level and tell you, well, I'm a man like you, you can also dwell like that. No, he says he knows nothing. Then, how can he? So you simply ignore them. What should be done now? So time comes, you see, where there is hunger. There is food for you. When there is thirst, there is water for you. When fire burns, arching comes to you. When Chela is ready, Guru appears. He appears. He's not dead, my friend. He manifests. He's already working. Some people call him by different name, others think he's God. In the case of Swami Shivdyal Singh, you see, well, people did not dare to look to the lights burning in his house. They were afraid that he'd be affected. Such like people we are, you see. So, Guru Nanak once was going around, you see. He was just caught and sent to the prison. And there they were just sought to just grind corn, you see, like other prisoners. He was in the remembrance of God, you see. And that was carried on up by itself. People were amazed. They reported to the king, you see. Then he took him out. So people don't hear, you see. If a man says, I know, who says no? How can he say no? If he says, I don't know whether the grace of God, God is working, such and so, he's an average man. We know better. If they say God, he's a heretic. So what to say to these people? So Guru Nanak says, well, in the world it's very difficult to carry on. If you keep quiet, they say you have no sense, no brain to talk. If you talk to them, they say, oh, he's in the habit of talking, he's got mania of talking. If you just go and serve them, he says, oh, he must have some motive behind it. You see, such is the case in the world. But still with all that, they go on. Some people do come up whom the God sends and they are benefiting. Can he say, if I quiet sit quietly, he's man. And if he just shows some miracle, he's just mesmerizer, hypnotist. What to do? These people are such like people, you know. Truly greatness of a saint lies in the fact he should be able to give you some experience to rise above body consciousness. Not by hypnotizing. You are not in conscience. Mesmerism also. So very few really there are who know what spirituality is. Some consider it is only performance of certain rites and rituals. Others consider, yes, it is only contact with the spirits who are not the body.
Good evening and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listen to is called Three Questions, based on the three questions Sant Kirpal Singh asked Baba Sawan Singh Ji Maharaj. It was given on January 21st, 1964, in Washington, D.C. Our reader this evening is Pradeep Sethi. Hello, Pradeep.
Good evening. We continue to read from The Light of Kirpal, Question and Answer Sessions, Darshan at Rajpur on Meditation, February 21, 1971. Question: you say in your meditation instructions, look into the middle of what you see, but I have trouble seeing the middle. Master, middle means what? Just explain. What do you mean by middle? What do you understand at least? Devotee, I don't know what the middle is, because one, if I think of middle visually, like with my eyes, then I think of my eyes. And, Master, I always say, don't think of the flesh or bones of the eyes or forehead. Devotee, when I don't think of the eyes, then there's just a vast field. Master, yes. In front of you, you see some vast darkness. When you close your eyes, you see darkness. And darkness is a white expanse. The middle does not mean middle point. Devotee, oh, Master, you see, I've been telling you just that much area. Master cups his hands to indicate a space 6 to 8 inches in front of him. That much, not one point. You cannot stay on one point, but you can stay within that area. You see, does not mean a point. You follow me now? Yes. Master, when I have meditated and I lay down to sleep, then I get more light than when I am in meditation. Master, you know why? While lying down, you fully relax. That's all. If when sitting, you also fully relax, you'll have the same. While sitting, you must have some tension somewhere. You're not fully relaxed. If when you are a little on the way and you lie down fully, you'll have more. Devotee, but when one is lying, there is no concentration. Master, you are not to think of the body, flesh or bones, of the head or body. You have to develop, whether lying or sitting or anything, you see some darkness in front of you. You are thinking. You are lying. You are conscious of the body. Then how can you find? You have just to fix your gaze outside, not in the body. Whether you're lying in front or sitting, also in front, do you follow? No, I'm talking Greek. Very clear thing, you see. When you close your eyes, you see darkness in front of you. Whether you're sitting or lying in front, devotee, if you're aware of your gaze and not aware of your body, it won't matter whether you lie or sit. Master, yes, you are finding your meditations a bit better now, do you? Devotee, good. Master, yes, you said don't be emotional when you feel something begin to happen. But I don't seem to have any control, and I find that breathing, while I'm not conscious of making it involved, if I begin to feel this feeling coming around me, which I suppose is withdrawal, immediately I become very conscious of the breathing, and it's heavy, and I lose the whole thing. Is there any way I can prevent myself from becoming conscious of the breathing? Master, didn't I tell you? You are to fix your gaze outside. Outside, not anywhere in the body. This is the point. After a pause, do any of you find master's form now and then? Hands up, one, two, very little. Are there any of you visualizing master's form? A devotee, sometimes. Master, don't do it. Don't do it. When devotee, when you say to think of the master in order to think of you, sometimes I think of seeing you for a second. Master, that's your ray, your own race, you see. Praying is all right. Pray. Pray, then sit. That's all right. Yes, devotee. Does having your photograph support this habit of visualizing, or can it be of good value having one or two photos like that? Master, keep photographs just as you keep of your friends, not for visualizing. Devotee, just as a bridge for remembering. Master, yes, you don't keep the photo of whom you love with you, but you are not visualizing. You cannot visualize one who is above your reach, higher. You simply see some of the turban, some of the beard, sometimes one hand, the arms, like that. You will at once be able to visualize those who are up to your level or below you. Devotee, you said that many times, Master, yet when in meditation, I want to think of you. I see you so clearly, but usually it is as if at some time I had seen you personally. I remembered it, but very clearly. Master, that's all right. You see, if there's a piece of glass and you put a veil behind it, then you can see your face. If you are overflowing with love of your master, naturally that will come. But the glass alone won't do anything. You will see the picture behind the glass. To visualize of your own self is dangerous. Why? Suppose you visualize somebody who is not what he is supposed to be. Then you will feel the effect. Sometimes at the time of initiation, man gets master's form from the very outside. Visualizing yourself is of your own make, but if by sweet remembrance his form comes up, that's all right. That is not visualizing. That only shows you have banks of love behind the glass. Devotee, I have on two occasions upon awakening from sleep seen your face very clearly, and I think that was not visualizing at all. Master, no, that comes from within. That's all right. Devotee, very clearly. Master, that's all right. Sometimes the master will come in open daylight, sit down, and dictate to you. You put in writing. This is a fact, you see. Master Ram now tells about a disciple who advanced vision so much so that master appeared to him and dictated a book, but he disclaimed the master and formed his own gurudom. Master, this further progress is retarded. He misused it. So a man should never think himself sufficient. It is only by God's will a man is given. One night, master came to Lahore when I used to conduct satsang. He gave initiation to some people. After initiation was over, he told me, "Well, look here, Kripal Singh, I have planted saplings. You water them, you water them." I told him, "Master, what water you send through, I'll give it. Pipes remain cold so long as the water is running through them. Otherwise, they are dried up. This attitude saves you." So those who assert like that, lose it. Which is easier, to shake off the dark veil or to put it on again? To put it on again is easier rather than shaking it off, you see. And now I move to the next chapter. Finish something daily. February 22, 1971. When the whole house is in order, then you are free to think of who you are, what you are. Now you are dragged here, there, everywhere. You are to work regularly, that's the point. It is not a question of accomplishment in a day. A strong man revels in his strength, and a weaker man wonders how he got it. Every saint has his past, and every sinner a future. There's hope for everybody. You're not a sinner. You are besmeared with sins. You are gold. Gold ore, you might say. When we are cleansed, or when we are cleansed of all foreign impurities, we are gold. You are great. Great is man. That will be very good to write. All these days, you have been told how to meditate. Keep your whole attention in the seat of the soul in the body. That's all. All faculties will be controlled. It is you who give attention to the outgoing faculties. It is for you to stay up there. He gives you something to stay on, something substantial. We are not to visualize anything. You have some light and something to stay on. Let your small consciousness be merged into higher consciousness. This is what is meant by spirituality. That does not require drawing inferences or assumptions. No, you see, devotee, even though I look to the middle, the mind fantasizes. Master, mind, devotee, mind. I don't know where it comes from. It comes and it doesn't relate to anything in my daily life. It is like fantasies, coming and going like a motion picture. And I have trouble stopping it. Master, do you look intently? No. These thoughts only intervene when your attention is slackened. If you look minutely, intently, and penetratingly to find out what is in there continuously, without a break, then no thought will intervene. That's all. If you see wide, that brings all this trouble. Our subconscious mind is already overflowing with all these thoughts. Devotee, I have many thoughts in meditation. Master, you have many thoughts? About what? Devotee, everything. Master, everything? Well, do one thing at a time. Do one thing at a time. When you sit by me all alone with nobody else. When you think of your mother, no other thought should come. When you are at work, be fully at work. No other thought will come up. Do one thing at a time. There is no problem. Do one thing at a time. You are here. Forget everything. Sit by me. Do one thing at a time. When you are at work, be fully at work. It is not difficult. That will train your mind. That's all. You are so many things coming up. An incident in Napoleon's Bonaparte life illustrates this. The Waterloo fight was to begin at 9. It was 8 o'clock. Napoleon Bonaparte was walking in the garden. The minister was running here, running about. The battle is at 9. Why are you here? Oh, the battle is at 9. It's 8 now, you see. When you die, die. Finish off. That's all. So as I told you before, there is no problem. It is difficult to do one thing at a time. Attend fully to one thing as you do your study work. When you don't do one thing at a time, what happens? One friend comes to you. You don't attend to him fully. You only see him for a minute or two. Then you attend to another man and he stands around you. You attend another man. Although not completely, when you go to the third, fourth, fifth, all are standing, hanging around you, finished off. So that is why all those unfinished things hover around your mind. When you're doing something, each point should be finalized, finished off in one way or the other. Then no trouble will arise. What is wrong with you, devotee? I just a little negative today, master. It will pass. Master, what's the trouble? A cold? Initiate? Yes. Did you take anything, any medicine? Devotee, it's just a depression because I keep trying to do what you say and I don't seem to succeed so. Master, never mind. Just do what you can do and leave the rest. Why worry? Devotee, it will go away. Master, what you cannot do, leave the rest to him. I have done my best, now I leave it to you. What do you do? Do buoyantly, freshly, with no burden on your head. What you do, do honestly. That's all. You've done your best. There's nothing more that you can do. Pray now. Leave the results of what you have done to him. Do your best and leave the rest to him. You're all right physically? Devotee, yes. Master, that's all right. I was afraid, for you know one thing at a time. When worship, worship. I think it is easier. Instead of having one thought, you have 3, 4, 5. How many thoughts, new thoughts come up? New jobs? Only 1, 2, 3. How many? I'm not talking Greek to you. Quite understandable. Do you understand me? Devotee, not quite well. Master, just make her understand, please. Translated into another language. She's got so many new points to be considered, and none attended to properly. Now do you follow? Devotee, yes. All right. Thank God for what you get. Thank God for what you get and hope for more. Yes, please. You going strong? Devotee, there was a circular 3 or 4 years ago which said of our lives were mapped out according to the divine plan in the minutest detail. And the other day we were talking about free will. I can see how we humans, from a limited point of view, might have free will. But I wondered if in reality there is any free will whatsoever for human beings. Master, our present life so far as life and death is concerned, so far as wealth or poverty is concerned, richness or poorness, so far as your trend of mind is concerned, these are all fixed. But you are free within certain limits to lay your own lines further. You may decide that by discrimination or by right reading of scriptures, or in the company of awakened people, all scriptures say man is the highest in all creation, next to God. He is of the same essence as that of God. So you have to make the best use of the man life. That is why you are to decide what to do further by discrimination. What you have done in the past, you are reaping. What you do now with ego within, you shall have to reap. As you sow, so shall you reap. The wheel will go on, action, reaction, until you become a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. Conscious that he is the doer, not I. He decides our further trend of mind. Some are more ready to begin. Others are less ready, some are more intellectual, some are not. So these things are a reaction. You can develop further, but within the area of freedom as the present reactions are concerned. You can lay your future line any way you like. During the drink bar here, the government used to pay a learned man $57 for his crop. I have seen this. Then there was an unlearned man who could not even sign his name. These grain people gave him $150. So when two men do the same job, one gets a profit and the other losses. These things are already fixed, but you can have the freedom to live further wherever you like, and can also be decided be discrimination or reading scriptures or in the company of the awakened people. I sent another circular yesterday about meditation diaries. I asked them to give you copies. Yes, devotee, I think there is less freedom than we think, than we imagine, that it is more fixed. Master, present life is fixed. Further, you are free. If you continue in the pattern of as you sow, so shall you reap, you go on sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping, good or bad, that will continue. As you sow, so shall you reap. But if you become a conscious co-worker of the flowing pen of God, conscious of how it runs, you are free from further reaction. All grains which come between the two parts of the grinding machine are ground like anything to flour. But any wheat which sticks to the handle is not ground. Do you follow? If you become conscious of the hand moving and you stick to it, then you won't be ground. You'll be free. So, in man body, we have one concession. We can go back to our home if we become conscious co-workers of the divine plan. We lose our ego, and ego will be lost only when you see some power is working through you. Devotee, when that power works a person who is not awakened, when the power works through a person that doesn't realize it, who is still under the illusion, does it mean freedom for that person to do this and that within the limits you described? Master, bringing it up mind as a reaction of the past, you see, but if you use discrimination or go deep down into the scriptures or fit by some awakened man, you can see. Even the dacoits will become very saintly. There was one dacoit who would plunder away, take away everything from a man first, then kill him. He would then carry on his family affairs. Once he met a saint, he was just going to rob him of his clothes. Rob him and kill him. But the saint asked him, why are you doing all this, dear friend? This is my job. I have to earn money, you see. This is the way I have to do it. Do you think it is all right? Is it not a sin? I do realize it's a sin. If a man knows what he does is not right, and he still does it, but I have no other occupation. No other way of earning a livelihood. All right, I will just request one thing of you. He told him, go and ask your family members, your wife, your children, if they will share with you in this sin you are committing. Each man looked from his own angle of vision. The dacoit thought, this is a very strange man. If I go home, he will run away. The saint told him he wouldn't run away. To just bind him with a string tied to a tree, a strong rope, and go so that he might ask his people. He bound him to a tree, went home and asked his wife, well, do you think what I do is not right? She said the same thing, it is not right. Will you share in this sin with me? And she said, why? You have married me. It is your duty to bring the food. He then asked his children. They also replied in the same way. So he came back and he loosened the saint, wept and begged his forgiveness. Eventually he became a saint, you see. A man can turn. There are many instances like that. Once we went to a place, Pilibhit, and in the morning we had heart-to-heart talk. One dacoit, head of the dacoits, was there sitting in the front. I repeated these things. I said, there is hope. even for the price, I tell you, what he knew, he would tell to other dakars. There's hope for them too. Is there really any hope for dakars? Yes, I told him. Next day was initiation day. He came up, give me initiation. So I gave him initiation. What happened? He got the highest experience. He brought others, those dakars under him, to be initiated, to get the singing thing. He is now earning his livelihood by selling. So man can change, you see. A strong horse is required. An unruly horse will run like anything, but one direction is required. So man, a strong man, in whatever way, will work wonders only if direction of his line is changed, rearranged. Idlers are nowhere. There is no place for those who procrastinate. Procrastination is the thief of time. For those who put off till tomorrow, you'll do later on. Later on, there is no progress. You must be decisive. One wife used to be very worried. The husband asked her, "Why are you worried?" She said, "I've got one brother, the only man in the family and the only earning member. He says he'll leave the world and go away and become an ascetic." "How long has he been saying that?" the husband asked her. "For 3 or 4 years. We are dreading any moment he will go and never come back. If for 3 years, 3 or 4 years, he has been talking like that, and he has not gone as yet, he will never go." His wife said, "We are worrying, and you say he will never go." He replied, "Do you want to see how a man can go?" "Yes." By way of joke, he said, "All right, I'm going." He left the house, went out one door, and on the other side he sat. The wife said, "All right, come back now." "No, I'm gone." You see, there is no place for idlers, no place for those who have procrastination. Procrastination is a thief of time. Those who put off, we'll do later, and that later never comes up. Have you read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress? John Bunyan used to write something daily. Pilgrim's Progress is the book he wrote. He finished it by writing something daily. His motto was that. There was one man, Stanley, who used to finish something daily, you see. This I learned from Stanley. Finish something daily. When I go up, I finish everything. I may go until 12, 1, 2, 3, never mind. So when I lay down, I'm fresh and have no burden on my head. I know what to do. You learn from greatness, great men, you see. It is easier to finish something daily. The Gurmat Siddhant is a big voluminous book with over 900 pages in one volume and 1100 pages in the other. I used to write on some subject until maybe 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. So this is what I learned from these men. John Bunyan was a good man. Pilgrim's Progress is a very good book. You learn many things from great men's life. Finish something daily. Finish off. Sit in meditation. Unless you are satisfied, don't leave it. Now, half an hour has passed. Now 1 hour has passed. You are watching the clock. You won't die, I tell you. In this attempt, you won't die. You might have heard of Ramakrishna Paramahans. Vivekananda was his disciple. Was Vivekananda came to his master, Ramakrishna Paramahans told him, "This is one plate full of honey." "Well, Vivekananda, it is a sea of immortality. If you were a bee, from which end would you eat?" "Sir, I would eat only from the margins so that my wings would not become besmeared with the honey." The master said, "Look here, it is a sea of immortality. Plunge headlong into it. There is no death, you see. So your attention at meditation is into the sea of immortality. You won't die. Finish something daily. Do something daily is also good, but I think it is still better to finish something daily. Go on, do it until you get fully satisfied. Then go. You won't die. It is a sea of mortality. You see? And my time comes to end, and with Master's grace, I would continue with this beautiful question and answer session next time. Thank you everybody for listening, and thank you Master for giving us this opportunity of spending time at your feet.
Thank you, Prajeet, for the wonderful reading of Master's inspiring words. There were 56 participants at tonight's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Divine Master, for your valuable guidance and blessings.
If you wake up now, you'll find very untold treasure of divinity now existing in you. If you do not wake up, this hidden treasure of divinity which lies in you already, that will pass out. You will not be benefited by that, because you have been leading the life of the senses only. You have to transcend them.